and there is a delicious smell tickling my nostrils. Well, that can only be coming from the food brought in by the one and only Randy Lewis of Randaddy's in Lahinch. How are you doing?
Very, very good. Thanks for having me.
Oh,
looking forward to this one. I can smell it.
Yeah, you're always welcome in this studio, Randy. Oh, not just for the chats, but the food. This is quite the creation in front of me. So describe to the listeners what we're going to be eating and what you'll be telling them they can make.
So we have a sweet potato and beef fajita. Now, people think fajitas are wraps. Really, a fajita is meat. It's grilled meat.
Oh, okay.
Kind of Tex-Mex-y. So that's something that's you know, obviously we've taken the fajita idea and we've gotten rid of the wrap. January being the month we all want to slim down. I heard you're on a slim fix yourself.
I am. I'm hitting the gym.
Yeah. So we've trimmed that off with some nice sweet potato to go along with the chili.
Lovely.
So, my mouth's going here.
Okay. So what's in here? What I see in front of me is the sweet potato cut in half. Yeah. I can see the beef, cheese, cream. Avocado.
We got some sour cream, avocado, beef. We got some beef, we got some chili, we got some smoked paprika in there, we got cumin, coriander. We got some fresh lime, I think you can have coming out. We have some coriander. Then we have obviously a sweet potato that's been roasted in the oven.
Wow.
So all those combined flavors with the chili, the sweetness should wrap up with the chili. You got the cream, but more importantly, it's a nice, easy, like me and my friend Mike have this religiously, probably every couple of weeks after we get a good walk in. You know, we have this because it's nice and easy and very simple and it doesn't make you feel full. So yeah, it's tasty. My mouth's watering. So I think we can tuck in and eat, and I'll go through the process of how to cook it.
Yeah, so, I part of me is like, will I get Randy to explain the process first? No, I'm starving.
We got to tuck in here. And then on the side, we have some pickled jalapenos.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pickled jalapenos pack a punch. But that, along with the cream and everything, I think you need to be eating that on the side. So you take a bite of your fajita.
Okay.
And you put the jalapeno. How are you with hot stuff? It's got lovely flavored pickled going on there.
I think I kind of fall into the average to slightly above average category when it comes to hot stuff. I have my limits.
Take a bite of it. I think you could like it. It's pickly flavour.
Okay, I'll approach this. A little bit of trepidation, given that I have to talk on air. It's not going to blow my mouth off, is it?
No, it shouldn't. Did you get a piece in there?
Yeah.
Did you see it's adding to the flavour of the fajita? And it's kind of like, I won't... But now take some cream, get some sour cream in there, and let it mellow back out. These are four senses you want to have in every dish. You want to have some crunchiness.
Wow, I actually felt that, Randy, is my mouth was beginning to hit the on fire mode.
Yeah.
Even though that jalapeno was lovely. And I could taste the kind of pickled sensation of it, but the sour cream is like a firefighter who's arrived on the scene.
Yeah, and it just really mellows it out and sends flavor, creamy texture through you. So that's what we're trying to get here. We're trying to get the crunch going on from the jalapeno when you're eating. You have the sweetness from the sweet potato coming through. You got the chili, right? And you got all these lovely creamy textures going on. So you're hitting four textures in the one. Sweet, sour, hot. Yeah, and crunch. You got four textures. You try and get that in every dish. If you can kind of get that, you're on a winning start.
That's ticking a lot of boxes. Delicious.
It's ticking a lot of boxes. Yeah, absolutely. And I see Rebecca in the background. She's looking to eat. So let me go through the cooking of this. Now, it's very, very straightforward. But I think, you know, it's again, a foolproof recipe. Like I always say, I try and get some recipes up here where if you do, you know, fluff up a bit, it's okay. You just get a different result. So, first off, my mouth's watering here. Let me take a bite.
Why not?
First off, you want to get a hot pan. This is very important in a lot of cookings. Hot pan, especially Mexican cooking. Idea behind the herbs, spices, and beef is we really want to get close to blackening it. So you want to get a really good sear on the beef. That way it holds in the flavor and tenderize. We're using fillet of beef here, so it's nice and tender. You want to whack that into the pan, and you want to get that super hot with your garlic and your onions and your spices. So we want to char the spices. We don't want to burn them. We want to char them. That's going to bring out the smoky flavor that's in Mexican cooking.
And roughly speaking, Randy, how long should that take? Because I'm assuming you don't just whack the pan up to top heat, because it might just
100%.
Oh yeah.
Get it on 100. Get it hot, super hot. Swack your oil in there. and get everything going with your spices, your onions, your garlic, and your beef. Get a good sear on the beef and just be watching it and mix it around. You want to darken everything, not, you know, close to blackening it. And then we're going to add the rest of the ingredients to kind of deglaze the pan. So we got some peppers going on there, and we got some tomatoes going in there. And we dip in a little bit of water just to get those juices flowing a bit more. And then once you have that, I would take a taste, you know, and see if it's up to your scratch. You know, you might put a little bit more salt in it, a little bit more pepper in it. Mm-hmm. But very important to really kind of, I'll just say, smoke your ingredients, you know, smoking them in the pan. Really, you want to make it look like you're burning it and you're seeing the smoke come up. And that's going to add a different element to your dish. I think you could probably taste a little bit of smokiness in the background, can you? Or?
Yeah, I can get a little bit of that. I'm just a little bit sad now because I've eaten all the beef.
Have you? I think I got more beef on mine than
it's,
yours.
No, it's delicious. It's really, really nice. And I love sweet potatoes as well.
Once that's done, we're going to whack in some fresh coriander. And fresh coriander to Mexican cooking is like parsley to tomato sauce, you know. Mm. It's a last second, it's to boost it up, and you really get that flavor from it rather than cooking it inside. So we're going to put the coriander in. We're going to give a nice healthy squeeze of lime, okay, which brings out acidity, some sourness, and also brings out the flavor. Lime, you know, you can kind of use it like sugar and like salt. It's going to add that salty sweetness.
And I was just going to ask you that because the one of the last times you were in, you made the lettuce wrap, and there was lime in that, and it just gives it that little nice little kick. Yeah. Is it lime something that you can add to a lot of dishes, and it'll just give it a little something extra?
Lime is definitely something you can add to everything. Lime, lemon, you can use that in chicken. You use it in a lot of things, you know, and really add it at the end or at the beginning, and it adds a background hint that nobody really knows what's going on unless you're putting a copious amount in it.
Okay. Does this mean that lime has overtaken maple syrup in your heart as the thing you must add into every...
maple syrup is definitely strong in there. Let's face it.
Always Canadian at heart. Okay, so what else do you need to do in terms of getting this ready?
So then we got that going. We have the coriander in there. And then we got the potatoes coming out of the oven. Sliced potato straight in half. And what we're going to do is fill the potato.
Okay.
We're both eating here in the middle. That's good, though. I'm going to take a bite of this jalapeno now.
Hopefully this doesn't burn the mouth off and you can't tell
flavor.
Us how to prepare this.
So, and then we're going to... Ooh, that got hot. One second there.
Get some sour cream into you.
And then... Once that's filled with all your meat stuffing, we're going to top it off with some cheese. You want to get the cheese on top, or you can even layer it and put it on the bottom, whatever you prefer. And then we're going to throw sour cream on top. We're going to throw the avocado on top, and then we're going to bon appetit this. So there's some really, really good nutritional values in there. I've dropped it on the link on Facebook.
Okay.
You know, with all the nutritional values that are going into this dish.
Okay, well,
me and Paul Dunn from LifeFit set up this dish about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So we went through all the nutritional values. LifeFit is actually a place down in La Hinch. It's a gym there that takes clients anywhere from 8 years old up to 81 years old, would you believe?
Oh, wow.
81 okay. years old. So yeah, we came up with this a while back. And there's some really good nutritional value in this dish that off the top of my head at the moment... I cannot recall, but I just wrote it down all in the link below on Facebook.
Okay, well, I mean, look, from my point of view, and I'm sure the listeners who are also participating in Claire FM's fitness challenge with me, it's good to know that this is a healthy lunch. I think it's low carbohydrates and there's plenty of protein in there.
Plenty of protein in there with the sour cream, with the cheese, with the beef. Some good acids in there and everything to break it down in your belly. And everything there is from Mexico. Like, I've taken 2 trips to Mexico, lots of tequila, lots of tequila, a little bit of venturing around. And I think, you know, Mexican flavors, you know, if you got the lime, you know, you got the cumin, coriander, a little bit of oregano, you know, those are really good starts to Mexican cooking.
Okay.
You know, cheddar cheese, they're very fond of.
So tell us about your trips to Mexico, because as the listeners will know, you're a very well-travelled man. Kind of like Anthony Bourdain, your travels...
Well, I wouldn't compare up to him yet. I was watching him yesterday, the late RIP to him.
Great Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah. Trips to Mexico. Mexico is a phenomenal, phenomenal country. My trips don't really extend too much other than in and around Cancun and into Mexico City a bit. Mexico City is quite the place. It's a very well populated place. I think there's something like 25 million.
It's an enormous city, you know, isn't it?
It's an enormous city. I would compare it to, on the same lines of going to Rio. You know, you got some dark alleys. You don't want to be walking down them. But also, you'd be walking down the streets, you know, the local pubs. It's really cool. The local pubs, you know, they're sitting outside playing cards with the old men. And I'd definitely be the guy to be sitting there watching them. You know, after a few minutes, they clue up, they look in. I kind of give them a wave, say, no, just watching. And then they eventually bring you into their... I'll sit there for quite a while, sipping my beer, or, you know, I'll wait on things. I mean, that's the goal, you know, especially when you're trying to weasel your way into, you know, meeting some locals.
How's your Espanol?
Well, not good at all.
Okay.
Un poquito. very little.
Well, as we found out before though, Randy, when you were talking about your travels to other parts of the world and when you were, you know, working in a kitchen in India and so on, being able to communicate through food has gotten you quite far.
Yeah. Absolutely. Food is community. So when you start talking about food, when you're in the restaurants, when you're around food, when you're around pubs and you're, you know, eating, all you need is food around you to bring happiness to everybody's face, really. Like, that's one thing I think in the world, that you give them a good dish, they're going to smile. Yeah. I mean, that's a common thing, I think, in humanity. I mean, not that I'm a... don't quote me on this stuff, though, but you put good food in front of anybody in the world, and that's going to bring a big smile. Mm. And that, with a little bit of flailing in the arms, some broken Spanish, broken English, you're able to get through. So, yeah, there was definitely a pub where I walked in. Didn't get much cooking done in it after watching the guys play cards, and they introduced me to the owner. But definitely had a really good look around. And, you know, just seeing what's going on. And that's just as good as getting in there cooking.
Okay, so what else would be typical Mexican food, Randy? I mean, you know, people will think that it's all, you know, fajitas.
Beans.
Yeah, and spicy stuff and, you know, a lot of cheese and sour cream and things like that. Is that too stereotypical of you, a Mexican food? Is it more wide-ranging than that?
It's wide-ranging than that. Like, a lot of beans, a lot of pulses, a lot of flavor, I think, going on, just in general. You know, eggs, a lot of eggs being used.
Okay.
You know, I think in ration, you know, potatoes, it's the same kind of styles of cooking as everywhere else in the world, but I think the flavor comes in abundance. Do you know? A lot of rices going on, a lot of pulses, beans through rices. That kind of food, same kind of food as that you have in South America, everywhere, you know. It all varies, but once you get past that border of America, it changes to just a different style of flavors going on. Every dish has to have flavor.
Okay. And your trips to Mexico, was this when you were still living in Canada? Perhaps
no,
it was a bit
when
easier
I was still
to...
living here.
Oh, okay.
I was living here, yeah. Yeah, it was actually a meetup point for me and my friends is to meet in Mexico. close for them, but
yeah,
far for me, and it's the first times I ever went. So, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, would you recommend it? Because, I mean, I think maybe sometimes people have maybe unfairly a jaundiced view of Mexico. You know, when you hear about news from there, it might be crime related, but actually it sounds like a very welcoming country, and indeed a welcoming city. Myself, I've never been on the mainland. I got as far as Cozumel, which is an island off the east coast.
Okay, well, there's a lot of crime there, absolutely. I think everybody knows there's a lot of crime there. You know, I'd like to think, and from talking around to police or to locals, or you know, just asking a lot of questions to find out, you know, tourism, really, they want to protect tourism, you know. And I mean, even, you know, I don't speak for the gangsters and stuff that are out there, but you're kind of left alone as long as you don't walk down that dark alley. Now, you go into Mexico City and it's a bit different. But when you go into tourist resorts and whatnot, you know, it's fairly safe, fairly forthcoming, they're very nice people.
Just use common sense
very
and
nice
have street
people.
Smarts
they're,
about you.
Yeah, it's a tourism place. They're happy. Like any country and anywhere in the world, they're happy to take your money. They're happy to show you where to go. They're happy to tell you what to do. So, and they're happy just to see you happy, you know, because that's the industry there. It's a massive industry. Tourism is the industry. But I mean, if you want to travel through Mexico, it's quite safe. But again, I think getting off the beaten track, you'd really want to know where you're going, because it's a lot bigger than the map projects. It's a lot longer. You just want to know where you're going more than anything. You don't want to be going down the back roads. I think, you know, going down a back road in Ireland, well, you'll probably just get to another back road. but there you could get stopped and meet and greeted. Now, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure a lot of people have seen it on TV. You'll get meet and greeted by probably people you don't want to meet and greet.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, it's, you travel there and you're a man who travels solo quite a bit and got on fine. The food, though, is fantastic and highly recommended. I must say the beef fajita stuffed with the sweet potatoes, they're absolutely delicious. How long roughly does that take to make, Randy? Is it something somebody can throw together for their lunch?
Ours itself, I think that was the perfect portion. It's a small potato, take about 20 minutes in the oven, which is very, you know, wrap it up in tin foil, throw it in the oven, let it do its thing. The beef itself and the mix, if you're prepared and you have everything in front of you, honestly 15 minutes to saute off in the pan.
Okay.
I mean, after your chop, like everything start to finish, you know, to get in the fridge. Like, there's not much ingredients going on there. We got onions, garlic, beef to chop up, peppers to chop up. You know, and that's about it. That's all you're chopping up. So it's fairly straightforward. Whack it into the pan, get your spices in, off you go.
Okay.
Scrape up the pan. Don't forget to smoke the pan. That's a very, very important tip.
Okay, you heard it here, folks. Do not forget to smoke that pan. Before we let you go, Randy, as I alluded to at the start, you're always a very busy man. Last time we were chatting to you last week, you were filming this Calergas series. Yep. Is that still ongoing? Is it all wrapped up?
That's wrapped up. We start Chinese New Year's at the end of the month, and we have a recipe coming out for that. And then now this week we're actually off to Ballina to be looking around. I have a bit of a 3-page article going, Irish in a House Living magazine that we're doing for them. So we're looking at castles, we're going fishing, we're knitting scarves, and we're tasting whiskey, more importantly.
Okay.
So that's coming up this week. We're looking to do that. And then we're actually off to film in the castle on the 14th of April. It got pushed to, obviously, I think we were talking earlier, it was supposed to be done in December.
Yes.
With everything we don't want to talk about right now, that's what happened. So we're pushed to the 14th of April.
Okay, good to see that.
It's exciting. It's an exciting weekend too. Looking forward to the fishing and the whiskey. And the castle.
Well, I hope you're knitting the
and the scarf.
Yeah, I hope you're knitting the scarf before tasting the whiskey, or else it could all go horribly wrong. Randy Lewis, Canadian foodie and owner of Randy's Restaurant Lynch, thank you as ever for coming in.
Thanks very much.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm well stuffed. Hopefully I'll still have room in there when it hits lunchtime, but always a pleasure, and Randy will be back with us very soon.